Going to get into some general truths today. Going to wrap up some of the really unfinished business from yesterday, and then tomorrow, or I should say on Monday, I'm going to get back to the main text in Revelation 20, and we're going to soon be speaking of the second death. We're going to look at how death and the unseen can be cast into the lake of fire. What's that all about? I am going to tell you. Good morning. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to the Revelation series. Now, I feel like I may have confused a few people when I yesterday talked about the conciliation. I kind of went through that quickly. The reason I was talking about 2 Corinthians 5 and we exhort people and God speaks through us is because of this idea of truth being rejected, of people becoming too wise and proud in their own estimation, that they can't hear the little ones. They can't hear the children flouting. Is that what you do with a flute? You flout it? I don't know. A flautist is a person who plays the flute, or is that archaic? Not sure. Sorry. And when we come up to people, approach people with a message of God being at peace with the world, that's what conciliation means. That's what I wish I had told you yesterday. But what I'm going to tell you today, they look at us and we have no reputation, just like Peter showing up at your door in the first century. And yet we are the spokespeople of God. And this seems so unlikely that I must bring you the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Yet all is of God who conciliates us to himself. That's the word I wish I would have defined for you yesterday. God, it's peace. Conciliation is peace. God conciliates us to himself. It's a rare word. You don't hear it very often because the word you mainly hear is reconciliation. Reconciliation is a two-sided peace. It's when both, there are two parties who are at peace with each other. But we're not looking at that here. God is not reconciled to the world. He's reconciled to us, but he's conciliated to the world. It's one way. It's from him to the world. So while the world is flipping him the bird, he is at peace with everyone today because this is an acceptable era. The day of judgment has not started yet. And this is our message. Our message to people is not that God is waiting for you to decide about him. It's not that God is waiting for you to perform for him. It's that God is at peace with the world and he accepts you now. You are in his favor because of the cross. That's our message. That's my message as an ambassador of peace. Obviously, this is not the message of the Christian religion. The Christian religion, you are on probation. I mean, your default setting is a sinner headed for hell. And they have the keys to unlock the door of salvation for you. And every damn religion has a different key, different system for being saved, different hoops you have to jump through. With my message, there are no hoops. There was only one hoop that ever needed to be jumped through, and Jesus Christ jumped through it 2,000 years ago. So all is of God who conciliates us to himself through Christ and is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation, the dispensation, dispensing. We're a dispenser, like a candy bar machine or a pop machine. It dispenses candy bars. It dispenses Coca-Cola. We dispense this message, the dispensation of the conciliation, the conciliation. That word the article there is in dark face type. This is the conciliation. The conciliation is a fancy phrase for this. God is at peace with the world and the inhabitants thereof. And he puts this in us, is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation, how that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. That's how it happened, through Christ, the work of Christ on the cross. God conciliated the world to himself. That's our message. See, that's where the death, the entombment, the death for sin and the entombment and the resurrection of Jesus Christ comes in. It comes in that this is what bought the conciliation of the world. That's why this is an acceptable era, because this is a window of opportunity. I hate to use that word opportunity. I hope you understand I mean it relatively. But this window is going to close. That's what people don't understand. It's since we were born during this era of grace, during this era where God is conciliated to the world, people tend to think that it's always been this way. It hasn't. This window did not open until Paul announced it, until Christ died on the cross. But what happened there at the cross was not announced yet. It wasn't announced by the 12 apostles because they did not understand this aspect of the cross. The cross was not the conciliation, the making peace with all humanity. It wasn't that to them. To them, it was Jesus was the Messiah. He died for Israel, and this is our chance now to come into the new covenant. That was it. It was an opportunity for one nation in the Middle East. But this message was so deep, nobody knew about it until the resurrected Christ told it to the Apostle Paul. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. That's what was happening during those six horrible hours. That was far deeper than the lamb sacrificed for the sins of Israel. It was far deeper than the types that we saw in the Old Testament, in Leviticus. Think of this. In the types, the lamb was not tortured. The lamb was, throat was slit. I'm sorry. That's distasteful to many of you. It is to me. I don't like it, but I'm not God. So it was a type of Christ. But what's happening here? If Jesus was only the fulfillment of Old Testament types, then he would have merely had his throat slit and would have been painless death. When the blood drains, all sensation is lost. And so it's actually a merciful way to dispatch with an animal. Okay, sorry, but it is. Now, again, if Jesus Christ was merely the fulfillment of Old Testament types, that's how he would have died. So the 12 apostles must have been astounded, mystified, puzzled, appalled at the manner of Jesus Christ's death, because this was over and above the lambs, the sacrifice of Israel. No one has seen anything like this. And it was far above the types. Now we're seeing what it did. It not only covered the sins of Israel, but it was the conciliation, God coming at peace with the world, everybody, Israel, non-Israel, in fact, all the celestial creation as well. So Paul explains this to us, the depths of the cross that were unexplained before him. This is why he needed a special revelation of Jesus Christ, Paul did, and he got it on the road to Damascus and in subsequent meetings with Christ in the Arabian desert, where he was for 3 years. This is why Paul had to explain his gospel to Peter 14 years later when he went up to Jerusalem in accord with a revelation to tell Peter his message. If Paul is teaching the same message as Peter, why does he have to go to Jerusalem to explain it to Peter? Hey, it's fine. I make sense for a living. So how that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them, and placing in us the word of the conciliation, the word of this one-way peace that God has made from himself to humanity. And when a person receives that peace, when a person says, oh, yes, I see it now, the light comes on, then it's reconciliation. Then it becomes a two-way peace. And everybody's happy. Now, that's what I want. I want everybody to be happy. Now, verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to get back to Matthew 11. For Christ then, the result of this, for Christ then, we are ambassadors. Here's the shocking verse I gave you yesterday that many of you are going, Sender, you went through that too quickly. Right. That's why I knew I needed to finish the week this way. We are ambassadors as of God entreating through us. God is entreating the world through us insignificant people. Don't feel bad, my friends, because God used Peter back in the day, a big, burly, cussing, smelly fisherman. Showed up at your door with words of aeonian life. Now we have words of aeonian life. That's how important we are to people. We're important. When we talk to people, it's a big damn deal for those people. And if they reject you, they reject, by extension, God. and they will see that film rolled at the great white throne, because they're going to say, just like the people in Jesus's day, Lord, you say we hated the truth. It's not true. We were Christians all our lives. We loved the truth. And Jesus is going to say, no, you loved tradition, not truth. When did we reject the truth, O Lord? And Jesus will say, roll the tape. And they will see their encounter with you. And you brought them the truth. That's how important your word is to people, because God is entreating them through you. Amazing. I can't make it up. I can't make it up. So therefore, we are as of God entreating through us. We are beseeching, for Christ's sake, be conciliated to God. That's our message. We're not telling people to believe in Christ or be doomed in hell for eternity. No, we're just saying partake in this truth. The truth is that God is conciliated to you now. Accept that, and then you will be conciliated to God, because right now you're pissed off at God because you think God's a monster and you think God is holding your sins over you. I'm here to tell you that he's not doing anything of the kind. He actually loves you, and he's actually couldn't be happier with you in spite of all your flaws. All right, now we go back to Matthew chapter 11, and remember, he's saying that to these cities that he came, the parallel is we come to people and cities in this era. In that era, Christ and his apostles came to the cities, and they came to proud cities. They came to religious cities, and these cities rejected them, cities like Chorazin and Bethsaida, and yet they were apparently very popular, very known for being spiritual cities, for being cities who were soft for God, and yet it turns out that they're not at all. They're just whitewashed tombs. And Jesus said, in fact, if I had preached my message in Tyre, in Sidon, cities known for their opulence and wealth, and really probably their disdain of the mainstream spiritual happenings, then those cities would have repented. Same with Sodom and Gomorrah, the cesspools of sin. They were more real. The sinners in Sodom were more real than the religious people of Judea, and also the richy riches of Tyre and Sidon. Now Jesus continues in verse 23 of Matthew 11, and you, Capernaum, not to heaven shall you be exalted. That's what Capernaum would think. Well, we're going to be exalted to heaven. Jesus said, no, to the unseen shall you subside. Look at the contrast here between exalted and subsiding, between heaven and the unseen, that is Hades, the unseen. You will disappear. You will not exist. You will be obliterated until the great white throne. For if the powerful deeds which are occurring in you had occurred in Sodom, it might remain unto today. It wouldn't have been blasted by fire and sulfur. Moreover, Jesus speaking, I am saying to you, I might say moreover to you, me, Martin Zender, moreover, I should start saying it more because I like it, but this is Jesus now. Moreover, saying to you that for the land of Sodom shall it be more tolerable. Here's the main point. In the land of Sodom, at the great white throne, it will be more tolerable in the day of judging than for you. This is amazing truth. More tolerable for Sodom, because they never got the light. And for people who say, what about those people who never heard, who never believe? Christians have no answer for that. Did you notice that? They have no answer. They say that, well, they knew about Christ. How? Where? When? They never heard about Jesus. It's a fact. Many people die not having heard about Christ. They are judged also at the great white throne, and their judgment is lighter than the judgment of these cities where Jesus did his mighty works. And this is an amazing verse. I should save this for Monday, but I'm going to, let me do it. At that season, answering, Jesus said, and at this time, Jesus had to pray to God. I'm going to not get through all of this, but I do want to leave you with this for the weekend, that Jesus is actually thanking his Father, because he has to be so frustrated at this time. Because he comes to his own reject him, and he knows that they're going to be at the great white throne. They're going to be like the virgins who did not have their lamps lit, the five foolish virgins, and they were not ready when the bridegroom came. These people were not ready for the bridegroom. They rejected all his works. And so Jesus is frustrated as a man. He is frustrated, and he's exasperated many times. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who stoned the prophets, killed those who are sent her. How many times would I wish to gather you under my wing, in my arms, like a mother hen gathers her brood, but you would not. This is all in the relative perspective. This is Jesus suffering as a man, being rejected. So look, you're in good company. I know you're rejected. Your testimony is hated. I'm telling you this. You are in good company because our Lord was also suffering this. And yet he says, I'm acclaiming thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hide. You hide these things from the wise and intelligent. And there it is. The wise and intelligent. I said yesterday, people wise in their own estimation. You hide these things from the wise and intelligent, yet you reveal them to minors. Here's where we get to the little boys and the little girls playing the flute in the street. You reveal them to minors, to children. And he says, Father, seeing that this has become a delight to you, it becomes a delight to you to reveal these things to children and to hide it from the wise and intelligent. This is why the wise and intelligent who look down on you, who look down on me, they're totally out of it. I want to close with this commentary from A. Enoch in the Concordant Commentary of the New Testament on that verse. This is amazing. This is his commentary on verse 25 of Matthew 11. Through his ministry, okay, let me begin again. Though his ministry seems to be a failure, I want you to be able to relate to this. Think of this, apply it to your own life. Though it seems to be a failure, things you try, things you do, not only in the evangel, but in all things of life. Listen to this. Though his ministry seems to be a failure, the Lord recognizes the fact that this failure is in accord with God's unrevealed purpose. Jesus Christ acquiesces in God's evident delight in hiding the truth from those who were wise and intelligent in the things of this life. He does not fret because he cannot reach them, because God's work is apparently without the anticipated results, for he has the consciousness, Jesus does, that in the final analysis, it is God himself who is operating all for his own purpose and glory. And it is not that those who rejected him were blinded by some act of their own for which God disclaims responsibility. No, they do not see because God positively hides it from them. And so we do not fret. We're going to be like Jesus. We're not going to fret that our efforts in life, whether they be evangelistic or in the world, are met with frustration. It's God hardening people, and God actively hardens people's situations. He keeps people from seeing things. They're right in front of them, like these inhabitants of Bethsaida and Chorazin and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Capernaum. The truth is right in front of them, and yet God positively hides it. And so instead of banging his head against the wall, Jesus Christ says, I praise you, Father. How do you praise the Father in the face of failure? And this is the apparent failure of Jesus' ministry. He does the work, the greatest work ever, among his own, and they reject him. And so he has to resort now to the sovereignty of God. This is what we need to do. Take a lesson from our Lord. He resorts now to, I praise you, Father, that's all I can do now. I either have to bang my head against the wall and shoot myself, or I will back up and I will praise you, Father of heaven and earth, for you wisely hide these things from those wise and intelligent in their own estimation, and you reveal them to children, to minors, to babes, to those who have no reputation in this world, but who have walked themselves with Jesus Christ.